This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're listening to Going Global on Open for Business, where every Friday we speak to entrepreneurs and businesses from across the world. I'm Audrey Raj. When we think of New Zealand's proudest exports, dairy products definitely come to mind. But travel to the city of Hamilton and you'll find that New Zealand is not all about milk and cheese. Hamilton is home to Pacific Aerospace, New Zealand's largest manufacturer and exporter of aircraft. I speak to Steve Peters, General Manager Commercial at Pacific Aerospace, to learn their story. So as I walked into Pacific Aerospace this morning, I noticed on the wall, Pacific Aerospace, our story. So what is your story?
Our story goes back some 60 plus years now. And it has its origins in aerial top dressing here in New Zealand. And that started with a license-built manufacturer of a particularly rugged aircraft that was license-built in New Zealand out of a US design. And it helped New Zealand truly pioneer aerial top dressing applications. And the country has been a leader in that respect. Because of the challenging terrain, you've got to build an aircraft that's incredibly tough, very agile, will lift a lot of weight and deliver that product, as they call it, here in New Zealand very, very quickly. Over those 60-plus years, the aircraft has developed, it's refined, it's morphed into what we build today, which is a P750. And that P750 can be built in ag config. And those operators, the ag operators, for example, they're flying up to 17 missions an hour. In, load, out, deliver, and just repeat that 17 times an hour. So that is part of our story. I think the other part of our story is really sitting out here. Well, I've heard it variously described as, you know, the edge of the world, mm-hmm. not even part of this world, way out here in New Zealand. And part of our story is, and I think it's typical of New Zealand as a country, our culture, and New Zealand companies, is that we actually just go do. We don't necessarily make a lot of noise about what we do. And part of our story is the export success of Pacific Aerospace. New Zealand is typically known as a dairy exporting country. Let's call it the primary industry as referred to here. And then, of course, in the last 20, 25 years, part of New Zealand's success story has been the export of our wines, internationally renowned. And what Pacific Aerospace is doing is building a success story around the export of the aircraft. And if we think back to the last 3.5 years, we've exported aircraft to China, to Russia, to the UK. We've delivered aircraft to Germany. We have delivered aircraft to Papua New Guinea and Indonesia, just to name a few. And from a staff of 120, not only do we build this export success, but we're very, very innovative. A customer will come with an idea, or he will come with a proposition or a challenge, and he will say, I need this. And our philosophy here is, well, okay, let's have a look at that. And can we do it? Okay, that looks feasible. And wherever possible, we will go and do what that customer wants. It does sometimes result in very bespoke or custom-built aircraft, but that's what the customer needs or wants. So we will build that custom-built aircraft, yeah.
So going back, what ultimately led the companies shift from maintenance and modification to full-blown designing and manufacturing?
Well, interestingly, if we think back to that 60 years ago, the origins were the license built. And when we look back on that last 60 years, the emphasis has always been manufacture. And in fact, what we have done is, as a result of the manufacture license built, we've added on incredible capability in design, in maintenance, and of course in manufacture. So when you meld or merge all of those together into a company that's very nimble and very innovative, you have an attractive proposition to be able to go do things for customers. But it has really been built on the manufacture, and as that manufacturing capability and experience has grown, other core functions and capabilities have come in: design, electronics, maintenance, repair. Yeah, they've folded in as the company's grown.
Could you tell us a bit about your models?
Right now, two key models, and the main aircraft model is the P750. And that is evolved from what was the Fletcher, which then became the Cresco. And those two aircraft were primarily top-dressing aircraft. The Cresco used to be converted for skydive, and that was a trigger for two guys who are currently our agents in North America. They approached the company in, I think, the early 2000s and said, look, this aircraft is a fantastic jump ship, but it could be a lot better. So the company took a little bit of a gamble in the early 2000s, and that resulted in 2004 in the P750. And that aircraft is an incredible, what they call jump ship in the industry, an incredible skydive machine. But the capability of the aircraft with that big high lift wing and the 750 horsepower engine meant that it's evolved even further. So whilst we still deliver a number of skydive aircraft, the emphasis now is on what we call the utility function of the aircraft. And that's passenger, freight, or dedicated freight as the case may be. We've always built ag aircraft. And with the advent of a modular floor system, which is truly, and it's a often overused word, a truly innovative design or modification, it means that a customer can operate one aircraft with two different floor plugs in as many as 10 different roles. And it's that genuine multiple role capability of the P750 that makes it different. And the other product, the other aircraft, I beg your pardon, that we do build, albeit to order rather than in continual production, is the CT-4 military trainer. And that aircraft has its legacy in a design that's probably 40-plus years old now. But the critical key point of difference with the CT-4 is that it will take somebody from being an absolute raw student who, shall we say, doesn't have a lot in the way of flying skills, and it's an incredibly forgiving platform, and it will take that student, obviously under instruction, all the way through to the edge of what we call the intermediate trainer field, where they're doing advanced aerobatics, formation flying, etc. So it's a robust, very, very capable aircraft. The P750 is the main production aircraft, and the CT-4, as I say, is batch production.
The P750 is certified to fly in many countries, and Malaysia too. I think you're working on a certification for that?
You're right. We're working on certification in Malaysia. The recent certification, the aircraft has been awarded certification in Russia and Brazil. Brazil's the most recent. That was at the beginning of this month. Malaysia, Vietnam, in terms of certification, we are working on certification in those countries, and also Canada. We have one Canadian customer who operates an Australian-registered aircraft, and they have given us the challenge of getting the aircraft type certified in Canada. We are type certified in China. And Vietnam, Malaysia, Cambodia are the three Southeast Asian nations that are probably the key focus for us on certification in the next 12 to 18 months.
Steve Peters of Pacific Aerospace, New Zealand's largest manufacturer of aircraft. Back in a moment. This is Going Global on Open for Business, BFM 89.9. You're still tuned in to Going Global on Open for Business. Good morning, I'm Audrey Raj. And today we're speaking with Steve Peters to find out more about Pacific Aerospace, New Zealand's largest manufacturer of utility aircraft. Just before, Steve, you spoke about the functions of the two models that Pacific Aerospace builds, the P750 and the CT-4 military trainer. And I understand that these planes are equipped with features and technology that are different to what's already available on the market.
You're right. Yeah, I think the key difference is if we say, well, okay, in the utility market, there are probably three main types that we compete against, and they're all great aircraft. And depending on what the mission is, sometimes our competitors' aircraft are the best solution for a customer. Where the P750 comes into its own is if, as a customer, you need to lift an incredible amount of weight, and to put a number around it, you need to lift maybe 1.8 tons of weight out of a very, very short airstrip, which could be as little as 800 or 900 feet, and you need to deliver that weight, that payload, as we call it, that 1.8 tons, into an equally demanding 800-900-foot airstrip. Often what we call an unprepared airstrip, which is in some cases not much more than a grass runway, or as one of our operators, Air Kathmandap in Nepal, operate out of a runway that's been constructed at the side of a quarry. So that is the key. If you have to highlight one thing, what makes this aircraft different? Its ability to lift weight out of very short strips and deliver that weight into very short strips. And that weight can be food, it can be medical supplies, it can be relief supplies. In the case of Papua New Guinea, the aircraft will fly in with supplies for the villagers, and they can be medical, educational, and the aircraft will take coffee, back to market, back to Goroka in the case of Adventist Aviation, and that coffee will be sold at market, which produces revenue and hard currency for the villagers. That is unequivocally the key point of difference, and in the last 12 months, the modular floor, the ability to reconfigure one aircraft to perform in as many as 10 different roles, is just, we touched on it earlier, it's an often overused word, but it is genuinely innovative.
So what's the price range like for these babies?
Okay. Where it all started, if we go back to where the P750 and its current guys all started, Skydive, to build a Skydive aircraft and have it on the ramp here in Hamilton ready for delivery in the order of US $1.65 to deliver a utility aircraft ready to operate in passenger and freight, IFR, instrument flight rule conditions, again in the order of US $1.85, maybe as much as $1.9. If a customer orders an aircraft with the modular floor system and they want the aircraft to operate in passenger and freight and medevac, and then they also want to put a modular floor plug in so it can operate in photographic survey or geophysical survey, and they also need the aircraft to operate in the ag config with the hopper delivering solids or the spray gear, if a customer comes and orders an aircraft and says, I need it to do all of these things, but I only want to buy one aircraft, I don't want to buy three, the price would be in the order of $2.25 million, and that will cover all of those roles, one aircraft.
So who does this business cater to? Do private individuals buy the planes, private companies, the government?
Less so on the private individual side because it's a genuine utility aircraft. So they're private organisations, corporations that need to operate aircraft in support of their prime business, whether it's mining, as the case is in PNG. We also work with the churches, with Adventist Aviation as an example. And the aircraft supplies a critical function in what I refer to as social infrastructure, and that is delivering supplies to villages, delivering medical supplies, for example. Adventist Aviation delivered all of the materials into my mafu for the construction of the new church. So it is a mixed bag, but it is less the private individuals and more companies in support of their flying operations and, of course, the skydivers.
So you sell both new and used aircrafts. Why is that?
Primarily, for us, the focus is always on new, but we do have some used aircraft that come along now and again. Aircraft, for example, that have come off lease. We've just placed two aircraft that were off lease to new operators in Indonesia. So we will work with those new operators. Our goal is to get the aircraft into operation with them. Obviously, being a used aircraft at a lower acquisition cost, the end game is, of course, that they will like it and come back for a new aircraft.
What is the biggest challenge when it comes to designing and manufacturing aircrafts? I mean, is it the liability, safety, regulations, the right talent, the engineers?
I think you've hit those, the second and third ones. Safety and regulatory compliance are the biggest challenges. You know, we could be sitting around the table and say, look, why don't we look at raising the max takeoff weight of the aircraft by 300 pounds? That, in essence, could be a 6 to 9 or even 12 month R&D program. We'll have to drop test the gear to make sure that it satisfies the regulatory requirements and is safe. Then we have to factor in that cost to the cost of the aircraft, or do we absorb that cost? So they're the two biggest challenges. And also is meeting customer requirements. What exactly do they need? And trying to be ahead of the game in that respect and anticipate, okay, look, this change will deliver a fundamental benefit to our customer.
Tell us a bit about Pacific Aerospace's social infrastructure.
I use that phrase social infrastructure, and it's where the aircraft is out doing work that brings a social, or in the case of the church, you know, they would perhaps refer to it as a spiritual benefit. We saw it in Papua New Guinea last year where we were up there for the 40th Jubilee for Adventist Aviation, and it left an indelible impression on me to see how the villagers viewed the aircraft. They refer to it as balus. Now, to us, we look at an aircraft leave here on delivery to a new customer, and it's an aircraft. It's a piece of machinery that we've put together. We're incredibly proud of it, but we need to go and build the next one. To go in the field and see it deliver medevac, deliver supplies, take goods out of the village to market so that they can earn currency or revenue, and to see what the aircraft, what balus means to them, that did leave a really profound impression on me.
I hear that some of your planes are also involved in search and rescue in Nepal.
Certainly, that's our understanding with the recent very sad events in Nepal. One of our operators, Air Kathmandap, and we had been talking with them about them expanding their fleet. But they're very focused at the moment on, obviously, their operation is up and running again, but delivering what is required, when it's required. And the day after the very sad events of the earthquake in Nepal, we just got in contact with them and said, well, look, whatever you need, let us know, and we'll do our very best to deliver it. But they've just been very busy flying. So they know we're on standby to help them out.
Just before we go, Steve, with agents on every continent, you have an incredible global reach. Now, how do you plan to grow your business further?
Great question. So you're right, Russia, North America, Europe, new agent going in there. The next target for us is Brazil, because we have type certification in Brazil. Expanding the market in Russia, we've delivered one aircraft into Russia, but there's huge scope there. And the other really interesting market for Pacific Aerospace, of course, is China. As China, shall we say, you know, enthusiastically and aggressively goes after the growth of general aviation in their country, the P750 matches that requirement very, very closely. So I would highlight Brazil, Russia, China, and not forgetting we have great agents in India, and they're doing a lot of groundwork now in preparation of what we'd hope would be the first aircraft going in there within the next 12 months, and that's another really interesting market. And then with Raj coming on board to look after Southeast Asia, drawing on his expertise and knowledge in the aircraft's capabilities, he's going to be very, very busy. We don't expect to see much of Raj in the next 12 months. He's going to be out there in Malaysia, and he is Malaysian, in Vietnam, talking with customers saying, this is us, this is what we can do, how can we do it with you?
Raj, of course, head of sales?
Raj came in as on aircraft sales side of it last Monday, so he's on his sixth working day, and we don't expect to see much of him in the factory because he'll be out and about a heck of a lot in Southeast Asia. Yeah.
Thank you so much, Steve, for your time, and all the best with Pacific Aerospace. Hope to see your planes, the P-70, in Malaysia soon.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. And you'll see Raj and the aircraft up there soon.
That was Steve Peters, the General Manager Commercial at Pacific Aerospace. This has been Going Global on Open for Business. I'm Audrey Raj, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.